Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Kentucky and West Virginia AFL-CIOs, and we appreciate their support. Today we're talking with Dwayne Egan. He's Chief Steward for Local 651. Dwayne, welcome to Union Edge.
Hi, Charles. Thank you for having me on.
We appreciate you being with us today. Just a little bit of clarification. I've got a little bit of a question. You're with Local 651, but who's the union?
It's the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers.
Okay, fantastic. That's what I thought. I just wasn't quite sure. So you guys are in the midst of a contract dust-up. You've got a management problem going on. What's going on, and what should the public be aware of?
Well, as of right now, my members are back to work. We were under a lockout for the past 2 weeks. This Monday morning at 12:01 a.m., they opened the doors back up. We had reached an agreement that 51% of my members ratified. So it's not a good agreement. We basically had Westinghouse put their boots to our throats to come to this agreement. Just to back up, April 30th, our three-year labor contract had expired. We met for a short week prior to that to negotiate. We feel that the company did not bargain in good faith. We have labor charges pending right now on that fact. They came up with their best and final, which froze our pension, cut our severance pay in half, froze the severance pay while Westinghouse is in bankruptcy, didn't give us any defined raises, and increased our health insurance depending on the member in their situation 2 to 3 times. And so my members, they voted that offer down. We asked for a 30-day extension, which Westinghouse granted, so we could continue to work. We asked every day if we could meet at the bargaining table to negotiate. They refused every day. We had a union meeting on Sunday the 21st, and the company knew about this, so they enacted the 48-hour rule where they could end the extension, which they did, and they sent us a letter basically saying, if you do not ratify this agreement, we will lock you out. That's another basis for our labor charges. My members, they did not agree to this deal. It stripped us of all the benefits that we've worked very, very hard to hold on to over the years, and the company held true to their word for once, and they locked us out.
Dwayne, let me ask you this. I mean, Westinghouse, it's a big company. They're doing okay, yeah?
Yeah, well, they filed for bankruptcy in March.
Yeah, well, Donald mostly. Trump did that like 6 times, you know, so it's like take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. It's a way for them to get out from underneath a lot of debt that they created for themselves. Westinghouse designs and procures nuclear reactor components. So they design the reactors. My shop, we build the reactor vessels and the internals, all the internal components, the coolant pumps. My particular shop here in Newington, New Hampshire, is very profitable. Last year, for an example, we made $7.5 million profit, net profit. The problem that Westinghouse has is they got involved with the construction aspects. They bought out a company that was doing the construction of the nuke sites at Bokel and Summerdale, South Carolina, and Georgia, and the cost overruns became greater. They weren't able to manage well and to get the projects back in line, so they filed for bankruptcy so they could get out from underneath $6 billion of debt that they created.
Were they using non-union construction down there?
The Volta site in Georgia has 600 boilermakers and various other union tradesmen and women. And the Summer site in South Carolina, from my understanding, is mostly non-union.
Yeah, okay. Well, that'll do it. Yeah. All right, so you guys got locked out by the company. They have done everything they could to devastate your contract. They're profitable. Your shop's profitable. And what is it? Is this just a continuation of if we go bankrupt, we can not have to pay pensions and so on and so forth?
Yes, I believe the bankruptcy, they were being opportunistic with the bankruptcy. It was a good excuse for them to say, hey, we need to. I mean, our contract was expiring right 3 weeks after they file for bankruptcy. But, yeah, they're being opportunistic to say, hey, we need to get rid of any legacy costs and basically just get the same labor for less money. And using the fear surrounding a bankruptcy to get the members to agree. But what they really did was my members did not agree to the contract. When they locked us out, Westinghouse being self-insured, meaning they hire Aetna to administer their health plan, but they paid dollar for dollar out for every medical cost.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to cancel our insurance the night of the lockout. So I have a lot of members with disabled children, a lot of members with spouses and family members that have a lot of medical issues. And as you can imagine, the costs were just astronomical.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so they used that to pressure us to accept this offer. Now, I believe, and some of my members believe, that Westinghouse was desperate to get us back into the shop to continue building these parts that Vocal and Summer are waiting for, amongst other parts. And after 4 days into the lockout, they agreed to come to the table. It took them a week to get to the table with us, but from everyone I spoke to at My International, different lawyers, different labor unions in the area, they all said, when a company goes through the draconian measure to lock you out, they're not going to come to the table 4 days later and then offer to make some very small movement. But my members just couldn't hold on. They needed their medical insurance. They needed their wages. And like I said, 51% of us voted to ratify the agreement.
What is it now, Dwayne, that we can do to help you guys?
Well, we had a GoFundMe page, and my the Boilermaker.org website had funds set up to help us out. Both funds, well, as of tomorrow, the GoFundMe page will be closed down. So, you know, I'd really like to thank everyone who has helped us out. We're using that money to pay medical bills and buy groceries for our needy members. But right now, our fight is over. We agreed. We're back to work, which is a good thing. But every single one of my members that uses our insurance is taking a loss of pay. And we're making less money, and we have much less benefits than we used to have. So I really don't know what you could do for my shop. But down in your state of Pennsylvania, there's a shop in Blairsville that is an IEBW shop, and their contract is up in August. And I believe that Westinghouse used all the scare tactics and used a lockout to get what they wanted, not only to get a better deal on their labor here, but to show other unions, including Blairsville, that if you try to fight, this is what's going to happen to you. So you better lay down and accept your pensions being frozen and your benefits being stripped. So, you know, maybe just get the word out to my fellow brothers and sisters in Blairsville that they need to hold strong. What they manufacture down there is they're in the fuels division, which is the most profitable division of Westinghouse. It's their bread and butter. And they have a real opportunity to hold on to their benefits and perhaps even gain some momentum with their contract. But I feel that Westinghouse is going to do the same thing to them and try to just be opportunistic with this bankruptcy and just pull every move in the playbook of breaking the unions back to get their way.
Well, you know, even if the company goes into Chapter 11, they still have obligations to fulfill, you know, the contracts that they have with other companies, so on and so forth. You know, so there is a point where you do have some leverage, and quite frankly, you got to use it. Perhaps after the interview, sometime here soon, we can reach out to you and get the information from the international, so we can help with the national drive for support.
That sounds great, Walter. I really appreciate that. I mean, excuse me, Charles.
No, it's all right, and we'd be very happy to do that. Dwayne, anything else we should be aware of?
The only thing I can really say is, unfortunately, I work for a giant multi-billion-dollar corporation that, you know, I feel is just evil in their tactics when it comes to their workers and their the working families that make them all the money that they earn. And I don't know. I just really like to give a shout out to all the other unions, every union out there in America, you know, stand strong and try to come together with solidarity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an important time.
It really is.
Dwayne, we got to get going, brother. We appreciate it. How do we find out more about the Boilermakers?
You can go on their website, Boilermakers.org.
And does Local 651 have a website?
Unfortunately, we do not. But if you click on the Boilermakers.org, go on, click on news, and you can read up about our story, or simply Google 651 lockout or Westinghouse lockout, and there's lots of local media that has covered the story up here, and you can learn a lot more about our story.
There you go. We appreciate your time, brother, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, brother.
Goodbye. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborist Talk Radio.